Freeform Radio is back. Ready to rock your ears, guys. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're under Twitter at FFR Podcast. And remember to send those fucking hater aids, bullshit questions. Not bullshit, I guess, but comments, whatever you want to send us to. We'll read it, we swear, and we'll answer in a shortly fashion. But again, it's Freeform Radio, guys. We're back in Adam. We have Daniel here today.
Yes, sir. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin.
Damn, man. Danny's got the music theme. He's feeling the music lately. And I'm back. It's fucking Andy. And we're getting kind of hyped up, guys, for this episode and future episodes because we got a countdown going. We're almost there to a magical number. So you guys just keep on listening, and then you'll know when we hit that number, a big milestone for any podcast. So we're glad we're going to hit it. We outlasted a lot of people, but we're back. As the weeks come, you'll get more details on it. But Danny, this summer's been kind of, I guess I've been in a lot for summer. We welcome summer. You know, we survived the polar vortex.
Right.
And we were forced in and locked in our house. So we built up a lot of cabin fever. And the overall, the summer hasn't too bad. But I feel like I've experienced like a summer hibernation here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you feel like you've been locked up too much?
And I think, yeah. I mean, usually I do a lot of things. I don't want to say I'm like some fucking crazy active guy, but usually I enjoy my summers. I go somewhere with the missus, or we enjoy a nice walk, I guess I want to say. But this summer, I feel like even my wife kind of brought up, like, man, it's boring. Like, let's go do some shit. And I'm just like, eh. Like, I'd rather stay here and watch Unsolved Mysteries or something, or watch some sports on TV. And I don't know. I feel like, and the summer the weather-wise, it hasn't been too shabby. And we just had that little mini heat thing a couple of weeks ago.
Right, and it was like 4 days of massive heat.
And now it's August, and I'm here recording a podcast, and today's kind of a nice day. I know Noel usually gives you guys a weather update, but, you know, and it's fucking weather, you know. But overall, I don't know, man. I feel like I wasted a summer. Not wasted, but I've been doing a lot of indoor activities, you know what I'm saying? But even after a while, you're just like, I need to get it crazy, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. The weather has been nice. We only had, like we mentioned, like 1 week of really bad, like super hot weather. Otherwise, like today, man, it's like beautiful, low 90s. Humidity is not that bad. It's just great weather to roll down the windows and just drive down that road. So, yeah, man, you know, I think there's still a little bit of summer left. I know usually here in the Chicagoland area, it jumps really quick from summer to fall to winter. But I think we still got a good month. Usually the month of August is some great, like, summer transitioning to fall weather. And, you know, there's been even some kind of warmish September, but I don't think we're going to get that kind of warm September. I think it's going to start cooling off come September. But no, man, I'm looking forward to this month of August, hopefully enjoying the weather.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I didn't really go to no festivals or anything. And we got like a festival here where I'm living right now. It's a burger festival. And I'm just like, eh. Last year I wanted to go, but this year I'm just like, eh. Like, it's going to happen. It's happening next week, actually. And I'm debating if we should go or not. And I'm like, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't want to say it's not depressing, but like, fuck, man. I could have been frothing or something.
Yeah. Never done that before, so I'm not sure if it's a cool sport, but I imagine so. I mean, I know Noel likes it. But, you know, I'm kind of like you, man. I'm not a super active person. I'm not out there walking trails, riding my bikes everywhere. You know, I just, you know, pretty much chill. You know, we'll hit a park every now and then and try to do some outdoor miniature golf kind of things. And there's a couple outdoor malls that sometimes we frequent. But, you know, I'm not a huge, like, hey, man, it's summertime. This is the only time you can do these, you know, three or four things. So, you know, I pretty much just try to enjoy the weather. We barbecue a lot more during the summer for sure. We even barbecue during the winter, but during the summer, that's cranked up a little.
Yeah, like I said, the grilling is easy. I do it regularly, I guess, not for big parties or whatever, but for here at the house. But I mean, I don't know. I think some of the reason I'm calling it summer hibernation is because it's just one of the things I look forward to in the summer is the movies, like summer blockbuster movies. And it started off with a bang with Avengers Endgame. And to some effect, you know, we talked about Captain Marvel and like, and that did gangbusters too. But after Endgame, I'm not hyped up for any of the movies. So I guess I was just like, yeah, like I could wait. We kind of talked about, you know, Spider-Man, the sequel that just happened. And like I mentioned in that podcast, like, I can't wait for it to come home, you know, to watch it at the house. The Lion King movie, just like I want to see it, but also like, I want to see it at the comfort of my own house. The new Fast and the Furious with The Rock, I just like, I have zero interest. The Pikachu movie, that no interest. I mean, that's another thing of my disappointment of this summer.
Wow, man. So, like, you weren't hyped up to see the Toy Story? I know that. What was it, Toy Story 4 or what is it now?
The latest Toy Story, that's another disappointment. Like I want to see it. I just don't. I'm in no rush to go to the theater. And usually, years past, I was like, man, I got to see this. I want to see this. Like, I make an effort.
Right.
This summer movies, it's just, it's nothing, man. It's speaking of what kind of movies are out there, and I don't know if it's me or just the movies suck. I mean, Avengers Endgame, I mean, of course, everybody wanted to see that. It made so much, you know, there was a big anticipation for it.
Right.
And the other one the Lion King one is the other big one. And like Aladdin, did you want to see a freaking blue like Will Smith? Like, I had no interest in that at all. And I liked the Aladdin movie, and you know, I just didn't want to see that.
Yeah.
But again, it's just a big letdown on the movie side too.
Yeah, for the Aladdin one, I was like curious, but kind of like I'll watch it at home curious. The Lion King, I wouldn't mind seeing that in the theaters just because it looks like a huge production. And I heard actually the 3D version is like totally awesome because that butler of Iron Man, I forget that director's name. Name escapes me.
Favreau.
Yeah, Favreau.
Swinger,
he said that he used, you know, like these badass 3D new technology cameras and that everything looks super awesome. So I was kind of pumped to see it in 3D just because I haven't seen a really good 3D movie in a while. So hopefully we'll go see that in the next few weeks before it's out of the theaters. But yeah, man, I was interested in Toy Story. Maybe not movie theater interested, but, you know, interested in checking it out. The Fast and the Furious, not really. You got that Skywalker movie coming up this year. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's not a summer movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess if
I'm talking about like summer, I consider Labor Day the last, it's not officially the last day of summer, but it's, I mean, summer's wound up in like all the movies from here on out. So it's about 3 weeks away. And think about it, it's just like, what's coming out? Like, and you're just like, eh.
What about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, man?
Man, I wanted to see that, but I don't want to go solo like some people we know to the movie theater. I don't want to be that fucking guy. And I know my wife's not gonna dig it because it has a lot of cursing. My wife's a Christian woman. She don't curse like right. I do. I curse like a sailor. So she, I know, you know Tarantino movies, a lot of dialogue. It's gonna probably be bloody and a lot of cursing.
Yeah, my wife doesn't care for Tarantino movies either. Usually, when we're scrolling down the dial of movies to watch, we'll pass by Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs, and I'm just like, oh man, this would be sweet to watch right now. But if my wife's sitting next to me, I know, don't even play it.
As I'm saying, the other day, I was like, man, I want to see Reservoir Dogs. But I was thinking, like, oh man, my wife's not going to watch this. Like, remember when the guy cuts the cop's ear off and he's like, hello, hello? So right. She's going to be like, what am I watching? Like, I can't watch this. So, but yeah, man, it's just that's been my summer, not letdown, but I didn't take really a vacation this year. I'm trying to save some money up around here to fix some stuff up in the house. And I think that kind of led me to where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay here and watch, like I talked about, Unsolved Mysteries and binge watch some shows. And so, you know, I don't know, man. I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but maybe you guys can send something and let me know if you guys feel me, or you guys like, man, fuck you. Go do something. Don't be a fucking millennial. Or maybe I'm being too much of a millennial. So let me know what you guys think. Said you guys think at F. Man, I don't even know what the fuck our emails right now. I'm so depressed.
FFNquestions@gmail.com. I don't know, man. I don't think the summer movies are that bad. I mean, you got the Spider-Man, which I spoke about last week. I thought that was a really good movie. Toy Story, like I mentioned, probably just watch it at home. Lion King, want to go check it out. There was that yesterday movie too, the Beatles, where that guy.
I wanted to see that one, but it's already booked by Art Theater. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that I'm just interested in kind of watching at home, just because the premise looks kind of good. I mean, I'm a Beatles fan, but I'm not like a maniac Beatle fan, but it did seem cool, you know, for me to check it out. And then there's that Child's Play, the redo. I was kind of interested in checking that out, but I think it's out of the theaters already. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, I don't know. Send me some emails. There's 3 weeks left, guys. When this episode drops, I think it'll be like a week or so left in summer. But let me know what to hit up, or maybe I could check out some movies around Labor Day and, hook me up. Send me what movies to watch, guys. But something I've been watching in my hibernation is a lot of TV, and me and the wife can't get enough of Yellowstone. We're on season 2. I know you just started watching, or you just finished season 1, Danny.
Right. Yeah, we just finished season 1.
And like, we are in love with a Dutton family. I'm going to try to keep it as much spoiler free. How far are you on to season 2, Danny?
I haven't started at all. The last I saw in season 1, the ranch is kind of in shambles and the family's being kind of torn apart. So it ended really good, and it made us excited for season 2. Probably start watching it in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I believe the last one had 9 episodes in the first season, right? And this one, I don't know if they're going to 10 or 13, but right now I think tonight, episode 7 airs. So the last 2 episodes have been fucking great to see where they're going. And Kevin Costner is with that Dutton, the patriarch of that family. It's kind of to see a man play the role that he's playing. Like, he's the fucking head of the family. He's giving out fucking orders. He lets you know where you disappoint him. He is like a throwback. And the way he runs shit, I don't want to say it's mob, it's different. They're like cowboys in Montana. So it's been pretty good. The season 2, there's usually like I don't want to say a drop off, but overall it's been pretty solid. And It's I really highly recommend this. Even if you don't get the Paramount Network, you got to find a way to watch it, because it has not fucking disappointed. Just on the cinematic, the beauty of the landscape of Montana, and all the issues they have with the Native Americans and the local people, and people in Montana, and people outside that come to the state. And the season two kind of deals with it more about outside people coming to have second homes there, and how they want to try to limit that or slow that down completely.
Right. Checked Wiki really quick. Looks like it was 9 episodes the first season. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're scheduled for 9 this season as well.
Oh, man. So there's 2 episodes left after tonight.
Right. And just looking at their ratings and the U.S. viewers in millions, the whole first season, they only dropped below 2,000 for 2 episodes. Otherwise, all the other episodes were above 2 million viewers. And when they dropped, they didn't drop drastically. It was the lowest was 1.8 million viewers. So those are great numbers for cable TV. Yeah, for Paramount Network, which not a lot of people watch and view. And just this season alone, everything is over 2. I mean, they kept the momentum going, and they're, you know, in the 2 million viewers. So. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like you said, there's an episode coming on today, and then there would be 2 more to finish up this season 2.
Man, that sucks. I thought they were going to do like 10 or 13, but if they're doing 9, that's why they're hard-hitting episodes.
Yeah, not a lot of filler.
Not a lot of filler, man. Like, you know how we grew up, like 25 fucking episodes in 1 season. Today TV, they just go and hit it, boom. They don't give you no filler at all. It's just steak, pure fucking steak. And they advertise this as the number one show for on cable TV, the Dutton family. And then they have issues with the local Native Americans and their casinos, and they make some social commentary also. And for being a cable channel, there's a lot of cursing. They say fuck and shit and asshole, motherfucker. I don't know how the hell they get away with it, or it's just I don't know. I don't know how that works, but there's a lot of cursing. It's very adult orientated, and they have all sorts of characters, from the ranch hands, the cowboys, to, you know, Dutton and his son, and his 2 sons and his daughter that are lives with them, apparently.
Right. Yeah, I really enjoyed the first one, the first season. Like you mentioned, it's great seeing that dynamic with Kevin Costner. He's one of those great actors that just plays the role very well. I mean, he's played a couple country westerns, just like, what is that, Wyatt Earp. That was a great movie.
He's been in a lot of cowboy movies.
Right. And he plays it well. He plays the character well, you know, kind of, you know, worn down cowboy, just trying to keep his family alive, trying to keep the, you know, the family heritage of running this ranch within the family.
Let me ask you this, Danny. What do you think of his Batman-like voice? Because, you know, it's not his real voice, right?
Oh, does he not talk? I was thinking about that because...
Like his son, we got to do cowboy shit here. And I'm just like... And you listen to him when he does interviews, it's not his voice. I don't know if someone told him, like, you got to go with a deeper cowboy voice.
I, to be honest, it is noticeable. It is something that I noticed right off the bat, that his voice was a lot... You know, I didn't think it was Batman, but maybe now I'll start kind of seeing that. But I did notice that it was more like rugged, like he has been smoking a pack of cigarettes for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like burnt out, worn out kind of voice. And my wife was really digging Yellowstone so much that we went back and we watched Wyatt Earp. And he's so young and his voice is so clean there that it really made Yellowstone's voice kind of, you know, pop. Because you notice it so much more after you watch Wyatt Earp.
Batman. Yeah, dude, it's so dark. Like, you listen to, and like, Dances with Wolves, Wyatt Earp, Open Range. and his voice is normal. It's not deep. And when I first started watching, I'm like, damn, is he? I thought he was sick. But when he gave some interviews I saw like on YouTube and Facebook, he has a normal voice, the lighter voice. So I'm like, man, like, I wonder how hard is to change your voice to make it like, and how consistent you have to be, you know? Or I wonder if they do that like afterwards, they dub it in or something. But yeah, it's very, his voice is one of the first things I'm just like, okay, he's voice acting too here.
Right. Yeah. I kind of figured it just went with the character. And like I mentioned, I thought it was just his normal voice. I thought, you know, he's older. And you could tell he's older. I mean, in the show, he doesn't try to hide his age. He's kind of acting what his age is now. And I just figured it was, you know, he's the marble man that has smoked cigarettes forever kind of thing. So I just figured it was part of his character.
Another thing, Danny. So if you worked at the Yellowstone, one of the things that cowboys who work there, they get, or if you're hardcore, you get branded with that Y. Is it, you think you're worthy enough to have that, they brand you with that Y?
Well, at least in the first season, I'm not sure if they do it anymore in the second. It seems to be only like criminals and people with like a shady past. So I don't think I have that type of past to deem or be worthy of the branding. So I don't think they would even pick me to be a guy to get branded. But even if, it, let's say they did select me, I don't think I could do it, man. That burning shit, that's kind of nuts.
You'd be like, hey, man, just give me violations. What's the lead ranch guy? Or Trip or what?
Trick.
Trick.
Yeah.
Trip. Yeah. It's like, yeah, something I like said, that. Get on the floor, you son of a bitch. You're like, just give me violations, man. I can't handle getting branded.
Right. No, it's that's another good character. I forget the actor's name, but
he's a good actor, man.
Yeah, he plays the character really cool. And just like you, I watched some behind making of videos, and it was cool to watch the director, writer, the creator. He was talking about how he sent all the guys to cowboy camp and got everybody, you know, acclimated to riding horses. He's like, I wanted it to look authentic. So even before they started filming, they went through this camp to make sure that everybody was comfortable and that he didn't want stunt doubles riding horses for actors. He said he wanted all his actors to be able to actually ride a horse for the filming.
Yeah. I mean, that actor, I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, but I know him from, if you remember Higher Learning, Danny, he's the Nazi leader.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's him.
Yeah, and when I was seeing him on the show, yeah, I was just like, man, where have I seen this guy before? I've seen him like on 100 Things.
Yeah. You remember that guy that gives the speeches in the apartment and all that? That's him. He's also in Good Will Hunting, the mechanic friend. He's also, he's done a movie with the lead actor. It's called Paparazzi. I mean, he does some interesting roles. And I'm like, what you said, like, man, I seen this fucking guy before. I couldn't think. And I'm like, the first thing that popped in my head was Higher Learning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now that you mention it. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember him in that movie now. But yeah, he's a really good cowboy. You could tell his backstory seems really interesting, and the first season kind of delves a little bit into it, but not so much. It kind of leaves it still up to mystery, but it does give a little bit of a backstory of how he started off in the ranch, and he just seems like a really fascinating character.
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting character we got to keep on. But speaking of interesting characters, Danny, you got something in here that says Rosemary's Baby. I mean, I'm guessing, I don't know if you're talking about the movie or they're making a show, or the original movie from the 70s. Fill me up on that. What's going on with Rosemary's Baby?
Well, I think they did do a remake that came out maybe like 2 years ago or so. But that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the OG one that came out like in, man, it seemed like the 1960s. That's how old this thing looks.
Yeah. With Mia Farrow, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I had never seen this movie before, but from listening to a podcast they were reviewing it. They were like, you know, usually podcasts, they start going into it, giving, you know, their, you know, review on it and whatnot. And it, at the very start of it, they kept praising it, man, the best, the best, the best. And then they went so far in saying, look, man, I don't want people to turn this podcast off, but if you haven't seen it, you cannot listen to this podcast until you until you see it, because I don't want to spoil it for you. He's like, because just watching it, he's like, that's part of the, you know, experience or whatever. So I did what he said, man. I turned it off and I found a stream that had it, and me and my wife watched it. And I got to say, man, this guy kind of hyped it up a little more than I think it was worth.
I knew you were going to be disappointed.
Have you watched it? I'm assuming you've seen
it. I seen long time ago. If I don't want to give too much. I know it's you. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. If I remember correctly, she's having the devil's kid, right?
Right. Yeah. I think we're past the point of spoilers. Yeah. I think it's fine to kind of give up a little bit of the plot. But, you know, I kind of knew of it when I was younger. You know, I knew that she was having the baby and kind of like an omen child kind of thing. But I had never seen it. It's like one of those movies, just like The Exorcist. I've never seen The Exorcist. So
wait, you never seen The Exorcist?
No, that's another one that I've never seen.
It was like always on cable, like.
Right, but I was always a scaredy ass, man, because that shit is for real,
it
man.
Is scary,
This ain't no Jason, you know, coming through the woods kind of thing where it's a Maple Leaf character, like, or Freddy. This is like the real shit, man. Yeah. This shit happens.
Real quick, the Exorcist, I've always seen it on cable, like.
Oh, you've like never seen like
TBS,
the DVD?
TNT, yeah. Yeah, and one day it was on I think a DVD or something, or one of the, I downloaded it, like the DVD, like an HD rip or something.
Right.
And holy shit, man, they had, I don't know, they kept so much off of TV, it was even more fucking scarier. And so, yeah, to me, that's one of the scariest movies ever, is The Exorcist.
Right, and I've heard of that too, that it's one of the scariest movies ever. And I think just knowing that makes me not want to watch it even more. So, but anyways, I heard the praise of Rosemary Baby in that light. Like, this is the best thing, not like Exorcist Scary, because it's more a thriller drama. He's like, there's very little gore. He's like, it's just that good of a movie, and that's scary because without all that gore and it still scares you, it's great. So I went in and watched it. You know, it is like you mentioned, very little gore. There's like, I think only one scene really where they show blood. Otherwise, the rest of the movie is just dialogue, acting, the mystery of, you know, is she going crazy? Is she really seeing the things that she's seen? Is she really feeling the feelings that she feels? Is she correct in her assumption that, you know, they're trying to, you know, bamboozle her and they're trying to, you know, like steal her baby and whatnot? And the plot just keeps going, and every little bit there's like a sprinkle of, you know, is this real? Is this real? Is this going on? Is that going on? And, you know, by the end of the movie, you know, the plot is revealed, you know, and that they're Satan worshipers and that they're trying to take the baby. And it was okay. It was okay. It was not a great movie. I would say if I had to give it a 1 to 10, I would give it maybe a high 6, maybe a 7. It wasn't my cup of tea. I enjoyed it and, you know, gave it its time. And for maybe in its era and its epoca, you know, when it first came out, maybe it was a higher number. But just going back to it now, never seen it, it didn't really grab me as much as this guy was selling it, that it was going to be that good.
Refresh my memory. If I remember when I saw this, isn't there a sex scene with the devil, or they're like, it's like it's being insinuated or something? I don't recall, but I just remember her lying in bed. I don't remember if she's giving birth or she's having sex with the devil.
Right. There is a rape scene.
A rape scene. There you go.
Right.
Yes.
There is a rape scene. The husband is like an actor. He's like a TV show actor. He's trying to land it in Hollywood. And the woman, I don't know if she had a previous profession, but in the movie, at least, she's like a housewife. She's like helping move in because they just got a new apartment and trying to get all that situated. So they're having dinner and the neighbors come and drop off like this cocoa or whatever. And at this point of the movie, the guy has already fell under the spell of these witches, you know, or these devil worshippers, and kind of been given like, all right, this is the deal. Give us the baby and this will happen. So at this point, you know, it's still not clear to the viewer, you know, at least me not having ever seen the movie, what's going on. And so they start eating the cocoa, or she starts eating it. And then she finally starts kind of getting tipsy, and the guy's just like, oh, you've been drinking too much wine. But in actuality, he was laying her down in bed. She passes out and goes into like a dream state.
The neighbor, and, right?
Well, the girl, the Rosemary.
Yeah.
She passes out and she starts going into like a dream state where she doesn't know if she's dreaming or if it's reality. And everybody that was in the apartment complex, all these old people, start surrounding her, and they get her naked. They start drawing stuff on her stomach, you know, some like blood with blood. They start drawing like these symbols. And then, just like you said, Andy, there's like these like devilish hands and like these devil eyes. And they're insinuating that she's getting raped by the devil. And it's kind of creepy, and it's, you know, kind of like, man, is she dreaming this or is this real? And at the end of the movie, you find out that it was real, that, you know, she got drugged and raped by the devil and had the devil's baby.
Yeah, I think it was like late 60s, early 70s, because it was, I remember seeing something on this, but I just remember a young Mia Farrow. And that scene, that's all like I can remember about it. And she that made her like a famous star, like that blew that movie blew her up. And she's one of the better actors that this country's had in a while. But would you recommend it, Danny, or the podcast people they hyped it up too much? They wanted to justify why they recommended it, right?
I think if you're a connoisseur of movies, then you'll appreciate it. You know, I like watching movies, but I'm not, you know, that snobby where, like, you know, I watch these for a living kind of thing.
Snob.
You know, but
classic cinemas.
But, you know, you kind of like Citizen Kane. You keep telling me Citizen Kane is the best. I know if I watch it, dude,
I'll be saying that.
No, right. I'll be like, this is terrible. I can't even watch this black and white shit. So, but I can appreciate it for what it is. I could appreciate it for what it was. And I can tell that if I would have watched this 20 years ago, I would have been like, damn, this is an 8 or a 9. I could tell that that's how good this was. You know, it's kind of like Hitchcock's Birds and a movie like that, where you're not going to see like this overly gory movie anymore. You're going to see a thriller that has suspense. It has a lot of, you know, what if or what happened, you know, kind of have you trying to figure it out as the viewer, and it has that feel to it. So by all means, it's a good movie. It's not anything shitty like Sharknado or anything like that. This is definitely
Sharknado is like quadrilogy or whatever. I don't even know how many they make.
But it's a good movie. I think if you appreciate movies, this will be a movie that you would appreciate if you haven't seen it already. And even with giving you the some of the plot points, I kind of already knew that without even watching it, that it was about having Satan's baby. But just trying to figure it out during the movie is part of the allure of watching it and trying to see if you can spot those times where, is he in on this? Is he not? What does this, what's the hidden message behind this? And it was just a pretty cool movie, but nothing too great to write home, or at least not as much as this guy was hyping it.
Well, again, it's you got to look at the context of when the movie was made, you know, at that time. What, you know, with today, what they can, it's not scary, it's just like fucking gory. Like, looking at like the new It was just like I mean, it wasn't scary, but it was just like, I don't know, it was just different type of scary. But the one from the 80s, I thought it was scarier. And like same thing with Rosemary's Baby. At that time, that was they were kind of ahead of their time with they hinted at stuff. And it wasn't just like today, they probably would have had a full fucking scene where the devil's just like, you could see the devil just raping her, you know. But now it's just like it was like this, you weren't, she wasn't sure if it was a dream or whatever. You just see like these hints of it. And it's right. Not just, you're like, oh man, she's being raped. But it's just a different time. And today it's just like, it's all visual. Everything's so fucking visual.
Right.
They're just going to show it. They're not even going to hint at it no more. It's just like, you're going to see it.
Right. You know, it kind of makes me curious to watch the remake or whatever one that came out, because while I was Googling a little bit about Rosemary Baby after I saw it, I did notice that there was one that came out, I want to say like 2016. So I'm kind of curious to see what that one looks like. And if it's like you mentioned, how it's more bloody, more where they show you more and they don't hint at things, you know, they show you. You know, it's kind of like Jaws, you know, you don't see the shark until like the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie. The whole first half or the first two thirds of the movie, you don't even see the shark. All you see is its fin and the perception that the shark might be there. So they don't do movies like that anymore.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a different time. And then with the technology that we got, it's just different, man. That's why today... I can kind of say when you're saying movie snob, it's just like you got to look for different things for what meant at that time, you know? Yeah, I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but yeah, at that time they did things a little bit different down to the way they talk, how they shoot the films, what they could do at that time technology-wise compared to now. They just think about it and they can fucking do it with a fucking laptop computer. Back then it was just like a big fucking thing, so... They had to be a little bit more subtle on how they could show you what's going on without really showing you.
Right, right. Nowadays, they could just make digital piss.
Digital piss. You don't know, man, that shit looks real. Like, you're thinking, is it piss or is it digital?
Right, right. No. But jumping on to the next thing, the podcast that I was actually talking about, that I was watching or hearing, is Colin Mariotti. He has a podcast where it's called Knotback, where he talks about retro stuff. And that's where he was talking about Rosemary Baby. But what I wanted to kind of bring up in particular with him is that he's having trouble with PacWest. I don't know if you heard about it, Andy, or you're even aware of him.
Penny Arcade Expo, right?
Right. That's what PAX stands for.
Yes.
It's sold. Its owners have sold the company already a couple of years ago. So it's not the original owners. Mm-hmm. So now it's like this. It's, I think, the Pop Funko company. They're the ones that own it right now.
But refresh my memory. The PAX Expo, what I recall, it wasn't entirely with video games. It was more like retro stuff or developers. Like, I really don't remember. I know of them because some... things that I used to follow would talk about it, but I never really, and I knew it was mostly out in the West Coast. I just don't remember what the convention or the thing was about.
Right. I mean, I was never a huge PAX fan myself. I know they had arcades, you know, just like the name explains, but it was also like a place for indie games, smaller games, to go, you know, smaller studios, and then just gaming stuff, too, as well, you know, like board games, card games, stuff like that. So it was a really, like, small niche, you know, kind of people, you know, really fans that are devoted into stuff like that. And I would just take, like, a cursory glance myself. I wasn't really super interested in stuff like that. And I was aware that it happens every year. And they've actually expanded since then. Now they have a PAX East. They have a PAX South or something. So they got a few other ones, but this PAX West one, it's located in Seattle, and it's actually scheduled for the end of August, I think like August 30th or so.
Yeah, that's where I remember being in Seattle.
Right. And Colin, he has a podcast company called Colin's Last Stand, and in there he has a couple different podcasts that he publishes. One of them, Knotback, like I mentioned, the retro one. And the other big one, one of his big staples, is called Sacred Symbols, and it's a PlayStation podcast. And now I listen to that podcast religiously, like every week. I think it's one of the better great podcasts that it's out there for podcasting, for PlayStation and gaming. I think he's very informative. He's very knowledgeable in the industry. And I just kind of like to listen to his point of views. So anyways, him and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Chris Raygun. He's a YouTuber.
I think I heard of that name, but maybe if I seen his face, I would recognize him, but no.
Yeah, before Sacred Symbols, because he's the other co-host in Sacred Symbols, and Sacred Symbols has been going on for about a year now. Before, I got to be honest, before Sacred Symbols, I didn't really know who Chris Raygun was. I kind of knew him from like a distance, kind of like the Pee-Wee-Wee guy or whatever the hell that guy's PewDiePie. Name is. That guy. So I knew he existed, but I wasn't really like in his circle, so I didn't really know too much of him. From joining Sacred Symbols, I got kind of to listen to him a little bit more. So anyways, getting down to the meat and bones, they submitted a request to PacWest telling them, hey, can we have one of your conference halls? We want to do our podcast there. And anybody can do this. I mean, we could even do this. We could submit an application to PacWest and tell them, hey, we want to have our podcast there to do a live podcast, XYZ. This is our game plan. This is what we're going to do. This is our format. And it's up to PacWest if they approve us, what studio they put us in, because they got different halls, different sizes, different times. Well, needless to say, PacWest approved Sacred Symbols, Colin Moriarty's podcast, to have a podcast, and not only just approved them, but gave them the biggest hall that they have, like the one with all the bells and whistles. I forgot what they call it, the Grand Hyatt Studio or some shit like that. It's like the biggest one. And so they sent them an email, and Colin is very Twitter active. Now, I don't do Twitter, so I don't really see him too much on there. But from, yeah, I know. But from seeing this whole debacle come across, he's been posting a lot of screenshots from his Twitter. And the first Twitter, when he got approved, PAX was like, yeah, you're approved. This is a tentative time, subject to change time-wise. But, yeah, please start telling all your fans to come here and start spreading the word. So that's what Colin did. Him and Raygun, they started, you know, kind of publicizing it. Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. Guys, come out. This is the tentative date, blah, blah, blah. Well, last week, PAX West canceled Colin Moriarty's Sacred Symbols podcast. They canceled the auditorium that they had and told them that, you know, unfortunately, we can't have you anymore. And kind of just left it at that without really giving them
why.
Yeah, they didn't really give them much information as to why. Was it a scheduling error? Was it that after reviewing their format, they were too controversial and they didn't want to have them?
Because, are they controversial then?
Well, a lot of people see Colin as like a right winger, you know, and where most of the video game industry is more left than right.
So
a lot of the video game industry is like that. A lot of the video game journalists, stuff like that, the majority are left or lean more towards the left than to the right. And Colin, even though he says he's not a Republican, he does have a lot of right-sided views, but he also has left-sided views. He's all for gay marriage and gay rights and all that stuff. So I think he gets kind of like a bum rap. Just because he is for the you know, gun laws, but he's also for the right to bear arms. He has it tattooed. Don't tread on me. You know, he has a lot of other like government sayings tattooed on him because he's a big history buff.
Right.
And Raygun, he's left a left character from the start. You know, he's always said himself, he leans to the left and towards the center. So I think they're kind of a good, you know, yin yang, even though I don't think Colin's like a super right. He's more like a right center guy, the same way Raygun's a left center guy. So I think they pair off very well, and they, you know, have different opinions at times, but I think it's good conversation. But anyways, PAX canceled their show, and without giving too much notice. So now this just got, you know, the wheels spinning as to conspiracies, what happened, what did Colin do, what did Ray do, what's Pac's deal. Colin's been fighting for Pac to refund his guests because a lot of people bought tickets anticipating to see Sacred Symbols. And now with it being canceled, Colin's like, I want to be able to offer my audience refunds for PAX if they're not interested in going anymore, because we're not going. And PAX has denied his request. And it's been kind of really shady and kind of bad to see that, you know, it, at a show, an expo like this, where that's what it's for, man. It's for the gaming industry, for a gaming personality. Gaming
community.
Like, right. For like a gamer like Colin, and he's a huge gamer, a huge PlayStation gamer for a long ass time. For him to get kind of, you know, they're calling it deplatformed and taken off the show. It's kind of shitty.
Yeah, dude. They, are they offering him any other hall, or they're just like, we don't want you at all? They are they just like, you're canceled. That's it.
Well, that's what Colin said at first when he's been, like I mentioned, screenshotting Twitter screenshots of his interactions with PAX, or at least his, you know, reaching out through emails and through Twitter to try to get information. And in one of them, he makes mention, he's just like, you know, without you giving explanation, I'm paraphrasing, of course, without you giving any kind of explanation as to our cancellation, and we can't even assume that it was because of a clerical error or a scheduling issue. He's like, you didn't even offer us a smaller studio, you know, assuming that maybe it was a clerical error and you overbooked and you gave us the big hall and we don't have enough people to fill it, or whatever your excuse would be. He's like, you didn't even give us that to even play it off like that's the excuse. So it leaves us to our minds to try to figure out what's the hidden message behind it. So it's just gotten a lot of people thinking as to whether they see him as like a Trump supporter because he leans more towards the right, even though he's not Republican and he didn't vote for Trump. They see him as that kind of character, so they didn't want him to be any part of the expo.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said he's conservative, he has conservative views, like right away, that's a big red flag for almost about any industry. I mean, especially the gaming community, the gaming journalist. I mean, as soon as you support any type of those values, they come out and attack, especially if you're a very public, you're in the public, you know, you're entertainer, public, the podcast, the shows, like even Joe Rogan, he has some, I guess, conservative views somewhat on certain things, and they come, oh, you're a fucking right-winger, you're alt-right, and like, he's like, to me, he's not Republican at all. I mean, he smokes weed, he's gay marriage, and he's very open-minded on certain things. But, I mean, he has his views. Everybody has their views. It's just, to me, it sounds like they kind of, somebody probably complained. He goes, this guy's conservative, he's going to spew his hate or whatever. And they're just like, yeah, we don't want to deal with it. Let's just, you know, let's not give it to him.
Right. And that's, I think, the... You know, he says he doesn't know for sure, but that's his beliefs as to why and what's going on and why they canceled the show. So, you know, it's just sad to see, because I've been a fan of Colin for a long time, back when he was on Podcast Beyond. He was the one that we spoke about a few years ago. I think it was 2 years ago now, about his Kind of Funny and being taken off of that company that he helped start.
Yeah, I remember talking about that.
Yeah, so this is that same guy. So I've been a fan of him and followed him for a long time. So it's kind of sad to see his show taken off, especially such a good one as Sacred Symbols. But we'll see what happens. PAX is coming up in a couple of weeks, so I wonder if any more news is going to break of it, and any other, you know, kind of gaming news that comes out of it. And hopefully they'll speak a little more with detail as to why they took them off or what the issue was. But Andy, I think it's time to jump into our article of the week for this week. Yeah, Andy, and kind of keeping it with the gaming here. This guy, I can't believe it, man. I think if I was this guy, I'd be jumping for joy, because it's super nuts. But this guy in California, he was cleaning out his mom's attic because I guess the mom's been bugging him to like, hey, son, come clean out your crap that you left here before you got married. All this shit that you used to collect, you know, come clean it out. And for Mother's Day or the mom's birthday or something, he's finally like, all right, for your day, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to clean out the attic and take out all my junk. Well, as he was cleaning it out, Andy, this guy ran across a Kid Icarus NES video game cartridge, box sealed with a receipt.
Lucky.
And it's super nuts. In the article, it makes mention that it sold for $9,000 on an online auction. And I'm not sure if you remember Kid Icarus for NES or if you ever played it. But
yeah, I remember Kid Icarus.
So you did play it. What do you remember of it?
I just remember he was the bow and arrow guy, and you're jumping all over the place. But I didn't get too many far because I think I might have rented the game, or some guy would we go to somebody's house and he would let us. He like wouldn't let us play the fucking game.
Right. You'd be like, hey, Bird, how do you beat this? And you'd be like, very carefully.
Yeah, and then he'll take it and he'll beat the game like 10 minutes later while you go take a piss.
Right. But yeah, Kid Icarus, man, it was a cool game. I had this game when I was younger. And like you said, you're an angel. You're floating around, jumping around with a bow and arrow. And you're killing all these monsters trying to recover these Greek artifacts. And I don't think I ever beat the game, because the other thing that this game is super known for is how hard it is. And I do remember it being this hard. And it was part of the Nintendo Classic, the minis. And I remember playing it again. I'm like, oh, Kid Icarus, man. And I popped it in for a minute. And, man, it kicked my ass. It was a super hard game, and I couldn't beat it, man, for anything.
I think that's why I didn't play it as much, because you're right. I think it was, like, really fucking hard.
Right. So, I mean, I have fond memories of this game just because it was when we were kids, we didn't have a ton of Nintendo games. So when we would convince my dad to spend, you know, $35, which in back in the day, $35, that's a lot of money. On a video game, we milked the shit out of it. We'd play it and we'd conquer it and beat it and do whatever we did, because that's all we had to play.
Yeah, $35 doesn't seem, even for 80s, I thought the games were a little bit higher. I thought they were like 45. So I'm like, I don't know if when he bought it in 87, so I don't know if the game was already out for a couple years. But to me, it seemed a little on the cheap end, or maybe it was on sale. I don't know.
Right. The game came out in 1987 here in in the U.S. So it might have been on sale by the time this guy bought it. So maybe you're right. Maybe the $35 comments in the article is referring more to the price that he paid. But I don't remember how much I paid when I was a kid. All I know is that, you know, games were expensive. Or at least my dad let us know that they were too expensive for him. So whenever he did, you know, kind of, you know, like finally cave in and got us a game, it was the kind of thing that you just played until, you know, no end. Just because you're not going to get another one for a few months, if not another year, you're not going to get the next game.
Well, looking at the picture that the article supplies, the Kid Icarus box, I see you got it got graded, it got an 8.0. And the only thing that I find interesting on the box, on the cover in the upper left, it says password pack. I don't recall any game that had password pack like that with the fucking, not a microscope, but the thing to make the word bigger. What is that? Do you know what that is, Danny?
No, I'm not sure, but I know that back then in the day, games did not come with batteries in it. I believe the first game to have a battery in it was Zelda. But before then, the only way you can pick up where you left off was using a password. Or at least a lot of the old original games were like that. So I'm not sure what that password pack is, but I'm only assuming that it means that it comes with like a preset amount of passwords that maybe start you off at level 2 or 3. in this special edition that this guy might have bought.
I mean, yeah, I mean, getting 9,000 for a game is pretty amazing. The guy is from Reno, Scott Amos, and he's like, what are you going to do with the money? And he goes, I'm going to Disney World. So, a fucking game. I would be pissed if I was him, because I'd be like, if I remember correctly, I read somewhere, I don't see it in this article, that his mom bought it from, give it to him as a gift, I guess for Christmas or birthday, and she just fucking forgot. I would have been like, you ain't give me this gift, man. I could have been the guy on the block here.
Right. Yeah. From when we decided that we were going to talk about this article, I did research it a little bit. And you're right. In another article or in another interview that I saw, he did make mention that he does not recall buying this himself. So he's under the assumption or assuming that his mom or his aunt or somebody else in the family bought it. And when he was moving out or getting older or when they were cleaning up, they just tossed it in a box of, you know, like old stuff, put his name on it and just put it in the attic so that, you know, whatever years later he would find it and be able to sell it, man. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that something like that could be in the attic, you know, worth that much money.
So are you going to go to your dad's house and just start tearing up the basement and the upstairs, hoping to find a brand new Nintendo tape?
Man, it's funny you mentioned that, because I get boxes all the time sent to me from my parents. Not sent to me, but when I go over, they're like, hey, Miko, we found this box. We think it's your stuff. Do you want to take it home? Because we're cleaning out this crawl space or cleaning out this. And, dude, it's a bunch of, like, my old action figures, G.I. Joes, Transformers, a bunch of my Hogan figures. And, you know, a few of the boxes I went through and I scanned them on eBay, and there was some that were worth a good penny, you know. Right. I haven't even finished, because there's so much stuff that I brought over, comic books, and it was just tons and tons of stuff that, thinking back, man, I'm like, man, how much money did I spend on this shit? Just because I didn't have no obligations. I had a little money because I worked, and I would just buy the dumbest shit ever.
That's what you do when you're in your 20s. You spend your money on stupid shit.
Right.
How hard is it for you think for him? I think my instinct was like, I want to open this fucking thing. But like the article states he consulted two video game experts. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, I consider you a video game expert. Did this guy fucking call you, Danny?
No, he didn't call me, but I'm assuming he called, you know, video game collectors or people that sell antiquities and stuff like that.
Antiquities.
You know, kind of get a feel as to whether this thing would even be worth money. Is he talking about it's worth $100 or, you know, thousands of dollars? And I'm sure once he heard that figure, he's just like, oh, I'm going to sell it.
Amos consulted two video game experts who agreed that the game would be worth a significant amount to collectors. He put the game up for auction through Heritage Auctions, Comic and Comic Art Auction, and last week it sold for $9,000. So, I don't see anywhere if you saw what the starting bid was, but, and who the fuck are the two gaming experts? To me, I think that should be it. I mean, like, who the fuck can it be? Right. Like, that's why I'm like, maybe he called Danny.
Yeah, I know, man. If he did call me, I would want a little cut of that. You know, give me like 10% off the top, man. That would be my fee. But no, man. I hope in the stuff that I go through from my parents' house, I find that diamond in the rough. But so far, the few things that I've gone through and kind of scanned, I haven't found that one. But maybe as soon as I scan that Wolverine number one and see what it's going for nowadays, it might convince me to sell it like this guy.
Or yeah, man. One of those boxes.
No, I got it in my long boxes. I still got the Wolverine number one, the miniseries. It's 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I have number one from his ongoing series.
Have you ever thought about calling like one of those people, like we buy collections, and see how much would they throw at you if they start going through all your shit?
I got a feeling that if you do that, you get kind of lowballed. because they're going to, you know, give you like a sum price and give you that kind of feeling like, hey, if you sell these individually, yeah, you might get, you know, $30 per comic. But right now, sell me the 10 and I'll give you $200 and save you the time. You know, so they're going to look for their own discount by bulk buying, you know, comics. So I don't think I would ever sell my box like that. I always thought that I would keep it for Junior and then let him sell it off when he gets older, or even if he's young, when I give it to him or whatever, whatever he wants to do with it. But hopefully by then it would be worth a little bit of a change, and maybe he'll get some college money for books or whatnot. So I've always had that thought, you know, just give all this shit to Junior, and maybe if he puts a little bit of effort.
I don't want this shit.
Well, that'd probably be the case, to be honest.
Can I deal with this old man?
Right. He'd be like, yeah, can you sell it off for me? You know, I just want the money. I don't want all the shit. So I don't know what he would say, but right now he's still kind of young. He's 10 years old, so I don't think he would comprehend the value that might come from some of this stuff.
When that happens, I'll give you guys like $200 cash.
Right. Yeah, I think you're going to lowball us like that guy trying to buy the whole long box in one big row. But before this thing gets any more crazy with lowering a pricing and charging, Andy, I think we're done for this episode, man. And I think it's time to put it back in the long box and put it down as another episode that we've recorded here. But I'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Like Andy mentioned earlier, send all that great email to ffnquestions@gmail.com. We do review the emails, so please keep them coming. We're hoping to do an episode soon with all the emails that we've been receiving. Visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our episodes, all our archive stuff. And we are climbing up to a great number that we're hoping to try to do something a little special for you guys. So we'll see what happens. But there you'll see all our episodes. So just download any of them. Subscribe, like, comment. We appreciate it all. For one of your hosts, my name is Daniel. My other awesome host here, Andy.
I always give the best offers. So hit me up if you're trying to sell shit. Minimum. It's always going to be cash.
It sounds like you're lowballing me already. But we'd like to thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week. Or in 2 weeks.
Dad.